Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's crossover time. Let's welcome in Dan Dibley and Mark Willard. Evan Giddings already here. And this is, I'll throw it out there like this. Here's the 49ers news, gentlemen and listeners. George Kittle's going to miss 4 games. He's on the injured list. No update on Juwan Jennings. Brock Purdy's got a toe and a shoulder. He's questionable for Sunday, and Jake Moody has been waived. 4 Nuggets.
Yep, Nuggets.
Don't forget about the return of Eddie D.
Eddie DeBartolo?
No, different Eddie D. Eddie Pinheiro's nickname is Eddie De Niro.
Oh, that's
so true. He will go by Eddie D. Provided that he kicks the ball between the uprights. No, he's not on the team yet. He's just working out. But he's got the inside track, Steiny.
All righty.
If he wins 5 Lombardis, he can be Eddie D.
Okay.
But until then, nice. He's going to be Eddie P.
Right now, I'll take a 27-yard field goal, okay?
Yep. And I was looking at the game again today, and not the whole game, but just snippets of it. And I've pinpointed when it was officially over for Jake Moody, and it was not the first miss. It was the second miss, and it was blocked, and that wasn't really Jake's fault, but they go on a drive that took 8 minutes and 14 seconds, which is classic Shanahan, and yeah, you want 7 in that point, but you didn't get it, and okay, we'll take 3. We'll take 3. We took 8 minutes off the clock. The game is now tied, and our defense is fresh, and you couldn't even get the field goal.
But why do you think that's the moment that killed him when that wasn't his fault?
Because that was where I think that he was even more exasperated than he was with the first one, because this one was, while it was the coverage fault,
right,
the fact that they needed that to tie the game and they still couldn't do it, I think that was where he just realized that a lot has to change with this unit.
Yeah, I think Shanahan's is just a results-based guy, and it's like, all right, we had 3 field goals and we got 3 points. That's just not good enough. And whether it's not on Jake or I just feel like it's so demoralizing when you're marching down the field or maybe your defense gets a big stop. And the last thing you should have to think about is how many points are going up on the board, especially when you look across the NFL and there's so many kickers of varying degrees of levels of talent that are putting them at 45, 50, some at 60, like Chris Boswell, that the last thing Kyle Shanahan or honestly anybody on the team should be thinking about is our kicker going to make a kick?
Well, and I'd say even more so because of the position we're talking about. Ephraim Salam, who I do the Sunday show with, is going to join us today at 3:45. And one of the reasons he played for both Kyle and Mike Shanahan, but one of the reasons we want to have it on is he spent a lot of our Sunday show bemoaning kickers. And this is that politics are alive in every workplace in America, in ours and in theirs. And so this is part of what I think is also taking place. No one will ever say this in front of a microphone. They act Nick Bosa about it. Oh, I'm never going to turn on a teammate. Okay. You don't even look at him as a teammate. That's the point. The politics in a football locker room absolutely will not allow a kicker to come out and mess up all the bumps and bruises that the rest of the guys have just taken on in order to put points on the board. I told Lucas this earlier, like saying that a kicker is a teammate would be akin to you hiring somebody to come over to your house, put together your IKEA furniture, and then calling that person a family member. No.
Have you ever put together one of those? They're going to be in your house for about 3 days.
Right, but when you're done.
My ex-wife, actually, I was telling the story before, how she came to your house and put together a bunch of your chairs.
And what'd you do when she was done, Steiny?
Welcome to the family.
No, you said, thank you.
That could
thank
be a 5.
You for doing your job. Now go.
Yeah.
Now go.
It was a little warmer than that.
If
but,
you do
I mean,
the job wrong, ah. We got a real problem here.
I was thinking about that, too, a little bit more and more. I do think there's something. Like, Shanahan, of all, he owes it to the 52 other guys on the team.
Absolutely.
To waive him. Because you can't have that festering in a locker room. And you don't want to wait till he costs you one to deal with it. They got fortunate. They won that game.
Yep.
And Moody didn't help them. So I feel like, and Dibs, what would you think about this one? I feel like it was an easy call, kind of a safe call, and like just one that had to be done.
For sure. And okay. If you look at both drives that resulted in no points, they were a total of 25 plays. You did a great job earlier, Evan, of breaking down the money drives and the snaps for McCaffrey. And one of those money drives was that one at the end of the half, and you got no money. And so you use CMC a lot, and you got down there, and yeah, your red zone needs to be better, and you didn't have Kittle, and it wasn't. Okay, get three and go to the locker room. You got nothing. Good day, sir. And then the final drive, again, you mentioned it, where a lot of CMC, and you actually got the seven, and you got it done. Lucky or not lucky, whatever. You take the win, and you run. But the two drives that resulted in a missed field goal and a blocked field goal were 25 plays. 25 plays of your 11-man offense putting it all out there on the line. Fourth down conversions, move the chains, keep it going, and you can't get any points. That's unacceptable.
I mean, I just look at a football sideline. I think it's interesting how nice we think these guys are all to each other. They're not. These are the biggest, meanest, baddest, most alpha males in all of sport. And you think that those dudes who are putting concussions on the line every play are okay with the specialist who never gets dirty to come out there and mess up the points? I'm not saying it's fair or it's kind, but that's not what we're doing here.
No, it's completely like, unfair.
Yeah,
but that's
how it is.
Exactly. I mean, there are some cases of kickers who have built relationships over periods of time. Like, I remember Brandon McManus was randomly extremely close with Von Miller, like the Denver Broncos. Like, they were best friends.
That is random.
Yeah, they're best friends. They both wore cowboy hats and cowboy boots to games. Like, they were boys. And it was a big deal when McManus got cut by the Broncos because Von was his best friend. But he got cut because it wasn't good anymore.
Yeah,
he was missing field goals. So, kickers can be quote unquote teammates, but only if they do their jobs. And they have to do it more than anybody else on the squad. That's because that's what you sign up for.
Like, Vinatieri probably became a teammate.
Exactly.
Vinatieri probably became a teammate because you clutch up and you end up doing some things that help guys to their goal. But when you do the opposite, man, there's just, I'm telling you, there's no patience for it.
He became a teammate that night where he kicked two in the snow, including the game winner in the game. I can't remember who they played that night, but the first one he kicked was inexplicable, and then the game winner, and I think it's a playoff game.
Might have been.
Could have been.
Kind of a big one.
Well, definitely postseason.
Yeah. I might have been listening to the game on my Sony Walkman sitting next to Tom Tolbert.
Did you have it tucked?
I did not have it tucked. It was an untuck it night for me.
It was an untuck it night.
I was a stage manager doing a college basketball game.
Just checking.
Yeah, with double T's on color commentary.
And who won that game?
Couldn't remember.
Oh, okay.
It was a Stanford home game. I was sitting between Tom Tolbert and Jim Plunkett. Because that's the way that's the way you did it when, because Jim Plunkett was always courtside next to the TV booth. Whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah. The other thing, and I haven't even really been thinking about it this way, but it's so obvious. Now I realize that I had a big blind spot. I've always been thinking about Moody, you can't let him miss a game winner. There's more than just the game winner. Like, when he misses in the first quarter, it impacts the team right there, right then. Like, I've been, focused too much on the late kick to win or lose a game. No, it's the psyche of the team during the game if he's missing.
The metrics of that game on Sunday would suggest that the 49ers absolutely bludgeoned the Seattle Seahawks. They had 2 minutes for every one of their time of possession. I look at the passing yards, look at the rushing yards, look at everything that happened up and down that field. The advanced metrics would tell you the 49ers won that game by double digits. And they needed a wonky, weird throw to a backup tight end on third down just to get a lead. And Jake Moody has a huge hand in that. It's a huge hand why the game even came down to that situation. I think that's the way they look at it. So, yeah, it's actually a miracle he didn't cost him a game.
I mean, it's a six-point swing at the end of the half. You don't get 3 points. And, you know, sure, is it guaranteed that they're going to go down and score? No, but I have to imagine that the faces of the 49ers, which were dejected, and according to Pam Oliver, people were throwing helmets, on the opposite side, they're feeling the opposite way. Like, they're feeling like, oh, my God, this guy just gave us a cookie. Like, let's go get 3 points and steal the lead.
Steal the game.
I mean, so it's a massive swing. And I just, to your point, too, I felt like through the first quarter and a half, they were in control of the game the whole way. And then it flipped when Jake Moody misses his first kick.
Well, I arrived at this thought yesterday. What do you guys all think about this? The Purdy throw to Ton just looked like riskier than it needed to be, right? You're at the 4-yard line and you're down by 3 points. I think Jake Moody absolutely had everything to do with why Brock Purdy threw that ball. I think the 49ers went into that drive thinking, we're done kicking footballs today. He can kick the extra point, but outside of that, we're done kicking footballs today. And so I actually firmly believe they would have gone for it on fourth down if that pass was incomplete. But I think that's why Brock was forcing stuff there at the end, because they were just like, we're done. We're done kicking balls. If we kick this, even if it goes through, we tie, there's 90 seconds to go, they may go down and win in regulation. Even if they don't, we're going to get into a kicking contest in overtime, and that's not going to go well.
Well, if you were going to go for it on fourth, then wouldn't you throw it away instead of taking the chance on third?
No, I mean, see if the guy can make a play on third. Like, in other words, though, you're in a desperate situation, and you'd rather not even get to fourth down.
Yeah.
So give it a shot. I think not so much maybe on that play, but I think their focus on that drive was, we have to go get a touchdown.
Yeah, no, that I 100% agree with.
Yeah, and I wonder if Purdy assumed Kyle would never send Moody out from the two. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know.
Or could he have possibly said, we listen, you're getting 7 here or nothing, because I ain't going to Moody.
So they go, if it's incomplete, let's just say, you know, Ton just doesn't go up and get it, and it's a bobble, whatever, out of bounds. It's 4th and 3 from the 4, and you can still get a first down. I think that he brings out Moody. I don't think that he goes for it.
I think he does, too.
We may never know.
No, of course we won't.
He did go for it twice on 4th down in the game, and they were 2 for 2 on 4th down, which is kind of unshanny-like, but including the drive that I was mentioning where it's 4th and 2 and they're at the 30-yard line and he runs that little pass to Farrell, his only catch of the game. Great catch, great throw, first down.
Good stick.
And you wound up having to kick anyway, and then the kick got blocked. Yeah. That's why I look at that drive and think, Shanny put himself out there. You went for on 4th down instead of a 47-yarder because you didn't have the faith, and then you got to 4th and 2 at the 18 and you thought, all right, we're going to kick it now. Now we're going to make this one, right?
You golfers, you remember this. How many, was it like a 1.5-foot putt that Retief Goosen missed for the U.S. Open? He won it the next day in a playoff. Steiny, do you remember this?
I don't.
It's like a 1.5-2-foot putt for the Open.
Right.
And he missed it. Did you review Greg Olson's, like, the Fox game call of Moody's 27-yard miss? If you listen to this, I think it's very telling to the way a football player, Greg Olson, a tight end, the way they think about this.
Sound like Chris Rock from the Oscars.
Do you have it?
Wow.
Just listen.
Wow, dude.
Listen to how just flummoxed Olson is that you can miss as an NFL kicker.
Time for the legal.
That close, that clean. Yeah, legal, then Greg.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Jake Moody is looking for a bounce back here. He missed 9 of his last 20 tries last season, and he starts this year by dunking one. No good. The demons of 24 live for Jake Moody. Blank.
Wow.
Off the upright.
I think if you would ask Jake Moody, you get to go put the ball at whatever yard line and whatever hash you want for your first kick to kind of exercise the demons of last year, where would you want it? I think he would have put the ball right there. I mean, that is, at this level, nothing's a given. That's pretty much close to as good, that's as much of a given as it gets at this level.
Dude, this is a tap-in putt.
Tap it in.
So I get your point, Dibs, but I think it was over right then. I think that was a wrap.
I'm really impressed by how that doink came through.
Didn't
on
that
me.
Come to the other good mice?
Wow.
Jake Moody is looking for a bounce back here. He missed 9 of his last 20 tries last season, and he starts.
It is. It's got some bass to it.
Yep.
Boom.
Well, the inside of them are kind of, they're probably hollow, right?
There was no mistake. Yeah. He missed that kick.
And they slap a mic up there. 7 such kicks were missed last year in the National Football League inside of 29 yards, 29 and under. Kaimi Fairbairn missed a couple of them, but he's built up a lot more equity than Jake Moody has. So it's not like it's 100% kick. It's probably closer to 98.6 body temperature. But when you don't have that equity and you miss one, then you lose your job.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't trust the guy. Like, you just can't. I mean, and it sucks, too, because, I don't know about you guys, when you saw that they drafted a kicker in the 3rd round, what went through your mind? Because I don't know if they expected it to end less than 3 years later. However, there's no precedent for this ending well.
I remember 2 thoughts going through my mind. The first one is, he better be really good. But I also remember things were so good for the Niners at that time. There was this arrogant, snooty thought of, dude, they're so stacked at every position. Just like, yeah, take a kicker. Just do it. You don't even need anybody else. So, like, get that too. That was kind of the thought that went through my mind at that time. But, yeah, the first one was he better be good, and he wasn't.
I mean, Dan, I don't know if you did this, but when I found out they drafted Jake Moody, I went to resident Michigan expert Dan Daly,
of course,
our friend, and I said, geez, look at Moody, 3rd-round pick. What's he? And Dan said, he's good. And I thought he was.
Kicker's as good as a third. I don't know. But
I don't know. He was Sebastian good. Janikowski, first round in 2000, and I don't know if he was a first-round worthy kicker, but he had a good long career. He made a lot of kicks, and he was a good kicker.
Yeah, he was good.
Put aside his draft status. Mike Nugent, 2nd round by the Jets. Don't think that he lived up to a 2nd round grade.
Get to my favorite.
Roberto Aguayo.
No.
2nd round out of Tampa Bay. He might have lasted a year.
Did I have this right? The Niners did this once before, right? Long time ago. I think Doug Bryan was a 3rd round pick. Was he not?
You're not seeing it here on my list, courtesy of the Sporting News.
Doug Bryan out of Cal.
What about 1979, Dibs?
79?
One of the most celebrated college kickers in the history of
Russell
our game.
Russell Erksleben?
Yes, sir. Russell Erksleben.
Sure.
He was a field goal kicker and punter.
Doug
and he
Bryan.
Got drafted 11th.
Third round, 1994.
11th overall?
11th overall pick in 79. Russell Erksleben.
Did he also throw?
No.
Oh, my God.
But he had a leg.
Did he make all of his kicks?
No, he was only in the league. Yeah, it looks like. Not very long, 4 or 5 years.
It's like the point is, compared to what you can find off the street or in the undrafted free agent column, typically kickers that are picked high, or just drafted at all, they don't work out.
But you know why he got drafted?
Why?
Because in 1977, he hit a 67-yarder, was also a really good punter. And somebody thought, we got action. I could tell you who. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah. The Oilers. I mean, 67 back then is probably utterly ridiculous.
Saints.
Now it feels like any kicker can make one from 55.
Oh, you have to.
Except for Jake Moody.
Yeah, you have to. Actually, Jake Moody, I mean, he has plenty of leg to do it. But, yeah, he's not straight enough. And he's kind of – he even made his early season stats – or early career stats were made off of chip shots. You know, that's the other thing about his rookie year. The Niners were so good. He tried 61 extra points that year, only missed one. But he only tried 25 field goals, made 21 of them, but he was below 70% from beyond 40 yards. And that's just, I don't know, man.
That's
and
it just also, not good
it,
enough.
It also feels to me, it's always felt like for Jake, the bigger the kick, the less likely he is to make.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The more
what's the biggest kick he's ever made?
He made two in the Super Bowl. Yeah, made 250 plus in the Super Bowl.
Probably do you remember the scores at the time and the you know the quarters? 250s is nothing to sneeze at in the Super Bowl.
He tied one. He tied the game late, didn't he?
That was the longest kick in the history of the Super Bowl, was it not?
Man,
it was like 56 or something.
They also missed an extra point in that game, though.
Right, right.
Yikes.
He made one from 55 to make it 3-0 Niners in the second quarter.
No
and
pressure.
Then he made another to go up by three with 2 minutes left in the fourth from 53.
There you go. That's the one.
It's pretty big.
Tie game, Super Bowl, 3 minutes to go, 53 yards. That's a big kick.
It now, is, but it's such does any, a friendly,
did anybody think he was going to make that kick?
It's such a friend. See,
no.
People disagree with this, but I look at that as, oh, that's such a friendly number. For a game-winning field goal, 53. I mean, ideally, it'd be about 56.
In a dome.
So you can miss it, and it's not a chippy.
Yep.
But if you make it, you're the hero.
Well, I mean, if they can get a stop, you're the hero.
Right.
But, and, you know, nobody wants to talk about the Steve Wilks defense on the other end because this is about Jake Moody. What I find to be ironic about this is the final field goal he made in that game was the same distance that he missed in week one, 27 yards in overtime after the offense was unable to block up a play that was going to be a guaranteed touchdown. Moody gets the field goal. They go up 22-19. Mahomes drives down. The rest is history. 27-yarder. He makes it in the Super Bowl. Week one in Seattle, 27-yarder. He misses it. He doinks it. And now he's on the street.
I mean, it's just got to be all between the ears. Like someone brought up earlier, called into the show, this guy Younghoe Koo for kicks for the Falcons now. His first two games in the NFL, he missed game-winning kicks when he was on the Chargers. They cut him very quickly, and now he's one of the better kickers in the NFL. So maybe Jake Moody still has a chance to make something of himself. But
your point about it being mental is a good one because Koo had like four really good years with the Falcons. They brought someone in for tryouts today also. Because last year, after four straight years of north of 80%, last year he shot about 74, I think it was, 74%. And then he missed the game-tying kick at the buzzer on Sunday.
That's right.
Against the Bucs. And so now he may well be out of a job this week, too.
So Doug Bryan did not get drafted by the Niners,
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did.
Pick 85 overall, 1994 draft, and he was gone a year later.
Right, right. So he didn't work out here.
No.
See, that's the other thing. And it's an interesting point on the Boxer and Gershon work injury attorney's text line is there... like a built-in more pressure for the rare kicker that does get drafted.
I just think because it's a more mental position, you're going to get more ups and downs. Like you may have the most talented guy, but the most talented guy may go through a two-year stretch of having the yips. That doesn't really happen for linebackers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you're either just you're really good and you got it, or you don't. You don't go through the yips.
I mean, so, you also hope the problem is over, but then again, you're having to move on from your kicker. Like, special teams is, I don't know, you need it, but you'd like to not worry about it. I just wonder if we're going to be talking about the kicking situation all season.
Can I ask you guys
probably,
this?
Probably, yeah.
Weirdest position in sports.
Has Shanahan entered Don Nelson territory?
Meaning what?
People say casually, oh, Don Nelson didn't care about defense. Kyle Shanahan doesn't care about special teams.
Well, he hasn't mastered it, but the look on his face would suggest he cares. God, he's ticked off. Right?
Yeah,
he is very, very mad. So I think he cares. He hadn't cracked the code yet on how to do it well.
No.
No, he brought in a new coordinator, and you're hoping that that new coordinator, who's been a special teams coach in this league for a long time, you hope that he can shore it up. But I don't think that Shanahan spends a lot of his time either coaching it up or worrying about it. He just wants it to be taken care of, you know? You just want that to be done. And I was looking at the advanced metrics through 1 week in the NFL, and they are 32nd in special teams, in defense-adjusted value over average, and the team that's 31st is so far ahead of them.
Yep.
They are so far last after 1 week. It is galling.
It's like a pair of slippers on a Sunday. Just feels like home. 32nd place.
Yep.
Nowhere to go but up.
That's true, too. I mean, it's a small sample.
Weren't they last year or close to?
Close to it, yeah. They might have been 31st. But
so one thing didn't change.
Exactly.
Defense is a lot better.
Sure is.
Looks like it. All right, Chance. It's time for me, guys. It's 2:12. And what do you got today on the show, though? You action?
We have a show.
There's always action.
Yeah.
Any special guests today?
Ephraim Salam will join us.
Right.
Cam Inman will join us.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Nice.
And then who knows who else?
Yeah.
And you have joined us, Steiny, as Evan, because it is 2:12.
Have you noticed what he's wearing on his chest today?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey.
They got action. You know what? Giants,
I'm going
baby.
To the game tonight.
I thought Guru, so is Evan.
Yeah.
I thought Guru was going to be here today, and I was like
Bleacher
already
creatures.
Licking my chops saying, you've got to let him have it. Meaning.
Why?
No, meaning have this one. They're in it.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Three out. Like, three is a.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're right. I know
four
it's kind
out.
Of four.
It's
kind of four.
It's not kind of. It is four.
No, but there's a thing there.
It's really like, not three.
Yeah, if they draw even.
They
if,
lose.
No, I understand that.
Right.
But
so it's
still,
four.
But there's 18 games to
those
go.
Those numbers are low enough now.
No, because they're
it's
not.
It's like me saying I'm 5'9". I'm just not.
Why don't we meet in the middle? They're 3.5 out. Because if they're four out, then if they go up by four, they would be tied. But they're not. They'll win.
If they gain four games, they'd be one up. They win.
They win. So they're not four out. They're 3.5 out. Can we agree on that?
No, because there's no half game to be had.
Yeah,
they're four out.
No, but they're not. Because if they make up four, then they're not. They'd be tied. But they're not tied. They'd win.
But if they make up three, they're tied and they lose. There is no half
game.
Walk
out.
I mean, if you don't want to stay for the semantics argument. It's really fun.
You can leave.
What is going on here?
On 95.7, the game.
Bye.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.